Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 139. This is Mike. How you guys doing? We're going to be doing the show solo tonight. Unfortunately, Kane is a bit under the weather, so if anybody is on our Facebook page or knows Jeff personally, just give him a shout-out. Tell him you hope he feels better, and he's back with us very soon. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next week. But he has been busy, like always, with his other podcast, the Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. So he and I both have been doing that. We're just finishing up January, which has been the X Games month. So we've been doing extreme kind of movies. We just dropped a Point Break, the original, last week. And I'm trying to remember what we have coming out this week for review. Gleaming the Cube. That's right. The Christian Slater movie. So, if anybody's into Gleaming the Cube, we'll do a quick review this week on it. And then coming in next month, I'm trying to remember. I think next month, actually, we start our 2010 movie watch along. We pick like four movies out of the decade of 2010. And find a movie that we wanted to watch or, review. So that is definitely what is up on the plates for next month. And then I believe he is coming back. I think the latest Game of Thrones show, the new one, the Dragons. I believe that starts next month. And I think he and his co-host Melissa from the Dragon, or the Baptism of Fire. Baptism of Throne. Sorry, I always want to say Baptism of Fire, but Baptism of Throne. They're going to be doing a watch along with that as well. So make sure you guys do check that out on the other podcast. I'll leave a link down at the bottom of the show notes. So if you guys are interested, but we're gonna jump in for the stuff that happened this week. We had a lot of cool things happen, and I really wish Jeff was here. We did get the final announcement for Batman, or the Batman, that it will be the runtime. So it's going to be close to like a 2-hour and 55-minute movie. So it will be the longest Batman movie, solo Batman movie. We can't count, obviously, when you throw in Justice League, you get the Snyder Cut. You can't take that out of the, you got to kind of take that out of the equation when you're just talking about a solo Batman movie. So this will be the longest Batman movie. Which kind of goes back to things I've talked to before, or I've suggested. Like, if you guys think of it, post on our Facebook page and tell us what you think. I'm going to try to remember to do that this week, but as a poll. But what would you guys think about bringing back in the intermissions? They used to do it a long time ago with these long movies, and then they stopped because, movies became, a certain like time frame, an hour and a half, or so. But recently, especially with the huge, superhero and massive stories that are being told now through in Hollywood, they are breaking the 3-hour mark and sometimes a little over. But what would you think about going back and actually having an intermission? I would be okay with that fact of taking a 10-minute break, 15-minute break in between, in the middle of the movie, just to kind of get up, stretch your legs, go to the bathroom, grab something to drink, just to have that pause for a moment. Because, we're all stuck on that chair for 3 hours. That's a lot to do. So it's just kind of an idea. I've always, I thought about it. So I think I thought about it, I think it was like last year, I went to go see something. And I was like, man, I could really use a break out now. Because there's always moments where I need to at least get up, stretch the legs or run to the bathroom. And I miss something. And so I always, I think an intermission, especially if the movie producers and the movie companies are going to start continuing to release long movies, which I got nothing against these long movies. I would prefer a longer movie, especially when it's based off of a book or a comic book series, something that has its own IP. Because a lot of times, and again, that's always the biggest bitch is, hey, things got cut. That storyline, that character's growth, something got edited out and dropped on the editing floor. We couldn't see it because it was too short. You know what? Throw me a 10-15 minute break in the middle of the movie and extend it out an extra 30-40 minutes to include those stories, those plot twists, those things that make those characters, better in a way. I would be more than happy to put up with that. And, yes, it's going to burn half a day, but sometimes going to the movies, it used to be an event, and let's make it an event again, not just something that we're casually going out and doing, especially in this day and age. It is a little bit bigger production with COVID obviously, and precautions and everything. So why not take advantage of that? And I know there was an article I think I saw last week where they were talking. Somebody had made a comment about making movies, big, massive movie productions, only hitting the theaters. And I thought that idea was kind of cool. I mean, obviously, they're going to hit the big theaters, but they were talking more like lower, smaller budget movies, more personal movies, having those more staying in the streaming network. But having the big blockbusters, the James Bonds, the Marvels, the DCs, the Lord of the Rings, having those continue to be out in the theaters. We got Avatar dropping here shortly, so you're going to have a couple of those movies. Having those specifically and strictly big screen, but then your art pieces and period pieces and your one theater instead of being in two theaters or three theaters in a theater, in a movie complex, it goes only in one. Have that one actually be a streaming movie. So kind of like the idea, but at the same time, there's still that crowd that's out there that loves to go see the movies, the smaller budget movies, the lower budget movies, and the more art based or story based movies. Those folks are out there, and I definitely would never suggest getting rid of that experience, going out. I love to go see some of those movies as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Mentioning James Bond, James Bond producers have discussed bringing Idris Elba as the next 007. Again, it's just discussions. I'm sure they've got a long list of people that they would love to see in as James Bond. But he, again, is in this running. And honestly, I got to be... I will... correct myself from what I said years ago. I did say this, that I believe James Bond himself should remain this uppity white guy, basically. I know I hate using those terms, but that's what because that's almost what he is. That his upbringing and his race kind of dictates his snobbery and his attitude. But after the ending of the last James Bond movie, I completely disagree with what I said. I'm completely flipping one. I think bringing Idris in would be great. I think they've thrown in other names. I know somebody I think was throwing in Henry Cavill, and I love him as Superman. Geralt right now is I love him as that. I don't see Bond as this big over the top kind of built character. I've always seen Bond as the Roger Moores and the Daniel Craigs and the very not super overly athletic and you have that V chest shape going on. They just are very, I don't want to say plain, but they don't stand out as muscular, and that's always been something that's made James Bond almost like approachable to a lot of the fans that have watched him. That I could be that guy when you look at him. But I think I would love to see Idris come in. Somebody also made a comment that why is it recently they're casting him more as this 40-year-old person? Why don't we get almost a reboot and go to a younger Bond? Have him in his 20s. I love the idea of taking him and almost doing an introduction of like they did with when they brought in Daniel. He was just now, he had like the first like 5 minutes of the movie, he wasn't a 00 agent yet, or he'd just gotten his 00 status, and he had just had his first kill. Why not go back there, but go back there with a younger actor? I think that would be kind of fun to see, almost do like the Kingsman style, how they had to go through the training and kind of follow through. I'm not too familiar with the Ian Fleming books. If there is a book that kind of follows the young James Bond coming in through the academy and becoming, getting his badge and working his way up there. But I think that would be an amazing story to follow if that is there. But again, I think Idris Elba would be a great addition. And like I said, I am one to always admit my point of view about something was completely off, and I'm saying that right now. Yeah, he definitely I would go for an Ildris Elba. Godzilla. Talking about a Godzilla TV show set in a monsterverse. There are talks right now. It's coming from a Screen Rant that a live-action Godzilla show set in a monsterverse franchise is happening. It looks like it's going to be happening through Apple TV. So I guess I got to re-up my Apple TV. So I'm looking. I'm kind of interested to see this, to see what they'll do. I mean, they with the movies we've got. We've had Kong and, Godzilla. We've had Kong versus Godzilla. We had all the monsters. So I don't know if they would continue in that world or if they're going to flip it around. I know the biggest complaint is the human connection, the human characters, And so we'll see what they do there. I mean, you're definitely going to have that connection to keep drawing people in. To do that, so it'll be very interesting to see what they do. I mean, everybody's building their expanded universes in the streaming services right now, so it makes sense for Godzilla and that to happen because it is such a huge market, not just here in America. Actually, I think it's very low here in America, but if you look overseas, you get the big market there. And Apple TV's across the world, but you look at what Marvel's been doing in DC and Star Wars. How they've basically grown their world through the streaming services and just grown off that, because you've got now Peacemaker out. You're going to be having there's going to be the Batman spinoff show that's going to be coming out here towards the end of the year. So you have so many things that are built off of that. And of course, we're going to talk Star Wars, Mando, and Book of Boba, and just the other four or five shows that are just down the pike and a few just around the corner to be dropping. So yeah, I could definitely see Godzilla going to the small screen. That's how I was introduced to him, watching him on TV. So I definitely could see that happening, and I would love to see Godzilla and more monsters. There was a clip that came out. I don't know if anybody's watched it. I'm trying to sort of censor myself on how much spoilers I'm getting, but yeah, there is a clip of the Batman, so make sure you guys check that out. If you guys are truly interested in seeing this, I'm interested. I definitely am looking more forward to the Batman than I was before. I know definitely Jeff has made has flip-flopped his thoughts on it, but I'm looking forward to it as well. I can't wait to see it, but I'm trying to hold off on the spoilers a little bit too much. I was in this store the other day, and I sometimes like look down the toy aisles to the action figures, see if anything new's come out, something that's grabbing my attention. And when I walked in the DC area, I noticed that they had a couple of new action figures and like cars and bikes for the movie. And I was like, oh, I don't even want to look at this. I just walked right out of the aisle and out of the out of that section, because I just didn't want to see anything. I'm trying to really censor myself on what I'm seeing. But I am looking forward to it. I really am. If anybody gets a chance to watch it, wants to comment, hop on our Facebook page. Just give us your opinion. Tell us what you thought. I think Jeff did post something earlier. Somebody did earlier about the clip. So if you guys want to pop on there, just take a look and see what you think. This week we also got, it's been a busy week, Amazon Studios officially announced the title for its forthcoming Lord of the Rings television series. It's going to be titled Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. This will debut September 2nd of this year on Prime Video. I'm telling you, I love pretty much everything that Prime has come out with. There has not been a production or anything that's come out from Prime that I've been disappointed in. They've really take care and with kid gloves and really try to focus in on the product, the original IP. If anybody knows me, knows how much I am in love with the Expanse book series, and what they did to the show was great. I think yes, they had to clip here, cut here, merge some characters here and there, but the way they did it and the way they took care of the property and the storyline, it was amazing. Yes, I was a little testy at the beginning. Testy is the best one I can think of. But about the Wheel of Time I was a little kind of sensitive about Wheel of Time when it the first couple of episodes, but then I saw what they were doing. I saw the mindset of the writer and the showrunner and what they were trying to accomplish, and I kind of backed off a little bit. Yes, I do have my moments of gatekeeping, and I always try to pump my brakes once I start it up, and because I know it's wrong. I want more people to see what I've enjoyed, and I guess when I see the story being told, that's not what was in my head, and of course we all have to go through that. I have to like flip it on its head. I always play devil's advocate with everybody else. I have to do it to myself. And so I did that with Wheel of Time. And of course, the guys, I mean, if you think about it's a continuing series that Prime has done, The Boys. I mean, the amazing thing they did with The Boys. Again, a lot of changes from the comic book and from the graphic novels, but what they gave us was amazing. So I am so looking forward to this. This will be set in the second age of the Middle Earth, which is like, it's not really that explored. If anybody's tried to read any Tolkien, I know this younger generations find Tolkien hard to read. It is very different writing styles. It can be very dry, but he has a lot of books and he does cover a lot of his different ages. But this one, it will be the second age of Middle Earth. And so it'll be interesting to see how he does how they approach it. I really, again, looking forward to it. I can't wait to see how they do this. It looks like the Ring of Powers unites all the major stories from Middle Earth, the forging of the rings, the rise of Sauron, and then, of course, the epic tale of Numenor, and then the alliance of the elves and men. So we're sort of like a prequel storyline that's going to be going. So I can't wait to see what more they do on this show. We've talked about it. We've been always talking about it every week. I know, I know Jeff is like huge gaga over it, but Peacemaker had their third or fourth episode this week. And I got to tell you, that fourth episode really nailed it for me. I was in love with the show already. I love the characters. I love the mood and the tone of the show. Like I've said before, I think this show really showed, James Gunn kind of was able to correct some things he did with the Suicide Squad, because I was not a big fan at all, guys. Sorry. I know there's a lot of people that were all aboard with the Suicide Squad, but I was not a big fan. But the characters that were in there were great, and what they're doing with Peacemaker and showing what he's going through inside internally is great. And Cena's really hitting his mark. We're seeing more introspective conversations. I think there's a conversation with Peacemaker, and he's basically talking about why he does it. The head of his little team was arguing with him. Clemson was arguing with him about why didn't you do what I told you to do? You had to kill that whole family, and Peacemaker, that joke is, I don't care who I have to stop to get freedom, and William Chil. But he's like, I'll kill what I should, but I need to know why I'm doing that. I'm not just a machine. I'm just going to go off and kill everything. So, seeing that is really interesting, seeing that level that the character has. And then, of course, Vigilante, he has probably one of the best arcs in this episode in showing his friendship to Peacemaker and deciding to go through and try to do something and it not happening, but he's making a decision. So I'm loving everything that's going on here. The only thing I'm kind of hoping, they just sometimes they hint at it, and I don't know if it's just to mess with people, but Harcourt, I really don't want her to like fall in love with Peacemaker at all. This should not be Peacemaker having a Kylo moment, basically, and turning himself around. He still needs to be Peacemaker and be the way he is. But yeah, I hope they don't follow through with some sort of strange love interest between them. And then also, God, this show is just so chock full of Easter eggs left and right. We actually get to see Augie Smith, Peacemaker's dad, the White Knight. We actually get to see a comic book accurate costume, and it's one of the most over-the-top ridiculous costumes that are out there. and we actually get to see like it. And I that one just dropped my jaw when I saw that. I was like, are you kidding me? That is it. That's the costume. I just can't believe it's there. So again, so much fun. I was talking to a friend of ours today, or a friend of mine, and she hadn't watched Peacemaker. And she was saying, well, I haven't watched it because I wasn't a fan of the character. Like, I did not like the character in the Suicide Squad. And she's like, I really have a hard time wanting to watch or trying to watch this show that I already dislike the character. And I was like, just do yourself a favor. Just watch the first three episodes. The character grows. Like, he is still the dick and still just obnoxious, but there's something about him that they kind of peel back a layer and show a little bit of a human side to him. And of course, like I said, you know, with him and Vigilante, just their relationship just really nails it and hits it out of the park, I think. Another show that we got this week, I keep wanting to say Mando, but it's the Book of Boba. I think this Book of Boba answered everybody's questions the last few episodes. Everybody's like, well, why'd this happen? Why'd that happen? And we actually get to see what he's doing. He explains why he's the way he is, why he isn't this vengeful character that everybody has in their head, that, you know, he should be going out and hunting this and doing that. It literally explains, he's like, I've been that character and that's been my life for so long. It's gotten me nowhere. It's let me watch my friends die. People that do the same thing I do day in and day out, and they get nowhere. The people that get ahead are the people that are telling us what to do. I want to be that. Very, you know, and there's a lot of, I saw it, I don't know if anybody else saw it, but a lot of Godfather tones through this. Especially when they, and I love that there's a scene where they're literally sitting on top of the Rancor trap door that we saw from Return of the Jedi, where you know, Luke dropped down and the slave girl dropped down, and they're literally, Boba's having dinner on top of the Rancor pit, and you just see this heart moment, like, you know, these people are, he's having the Godfather conversation. I want us to be at peace. I don't want any more. I don't want repercussions for anything. This is what we're gonna do. And you just see that moment when, like, everybody realizes that they're sitting on the Rancor pit, when the pit shakes and a little claw comes up out of the ground. And so it's really a really fun moment. We also get to see kind of where this falls in. This has always been a kind of question for me. It's like, where are we in the overall storyline of Star Wars? We know where, you know, Mando took place. We know, you know, the time frame, 4 years after Return. So, you know, and of course, you know, that's where we left off with Boba, where, you know, so how long was he in the Rancor pit? How long was he with the Tusken Raiders? So we get to find out a little bit more of the time frame, and then we see a slight crossover. We see where Boba was when Fennec was working against Mando, you know, when him and the sheriff were going across the desert and shooting off flares, trying to distract her. And we see that moment where we see Mando out camping and he sees the white flares going off in the distance. He starts working his way over there, finds Fennec. So we see kind of a catch up, and I think where we're at now, Jeff and I were having a conversation about it last night. I think he was right. Cause I kind of was, again, the story jumps around so much. I wasn't sure where we were, but the moment that we see Boba and Fennec on the balcony of his temple, you know, we hear, you know, he's like, hey, I'm finally completing my team. You know, I'm trying to get everybody together. And you hear the music fade out, and then you hear the Mando theme. So I'm sure we're going to most likely see him again. I thought we would. I just wasn't sure when we would see Mando again, but it looks like we're definitely going to see that. We did see Black Chrysanthemum come in and join the team. Not the way I thought it was going to happen. I thought he'd, you know, come back and, you know, he had a Wookiee life debt to Mando for saving him from being a prisoner again and set him free. And I thought we'd see that, but instead we run into him at the cantina. And, of course we see a Wookiee ripping somebody's arm off, which we had heard from, Han since New Hope. So it's and actually it's a really interesting scene, because you'll see these Trandoshans and Black Chrysanthemum, like, talking back and forth. And most folks, I guess you're kind of your general fan or general watcher, you have to delve in really deep into the history, into the legends and expanded universe of Star Wars to understand that the Wookiees and the Trandoshans hate each other. Their planets are right next to each other, so the Trandoshans have always been amazing hunters. They used to go to Kashyyyk and hunt down Wookiees for their pelts, and they were game sport for him. So that's kind of where it is. There's still a lot of tension. If you think back to the very first episode of Book of Boba, Trandoshan walked in with a Wookiee pelt. So they kind of, when he rips off that guy's arm, completely understand it, got it. I was like, okay, and you can even see the reaction to everybody else, like, okay, he's just needs to leave right now. But you can definitely see that. So I'm looking forward to see where else we're going. We're coming up on the, I think we're at the halfway point for the series. So I can't wait to see what more we do. But I think they're just hitting it, even doing better strides. And the most recent one was my favorite episode, definitely. Let's see what else we have going on here. We did have an announcement that they are releasing, oddly enough, they are releasing a biopic on Weird Al Yankovic. And I loved when I saw this. I was like, awesome. I Weird Al, what better person? I mean, you talk about a legend that's been around forever. Yes, he does a lot of, you know, comedy songs and parody songs, but his career has just been amazing, and it looks like it's going to be it'll be Roku's first original biopic. And the project is being produced by the Funny or Die and Tango. And looks as though they're going to be having Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter from all the Harry Potter series. Jeff introduced me to the movie, and I wish I could remember the name of it now. But it's a movie where Daniel Radcliffe gets his guns taped to his hand, and he has to go through and like complete something, a very 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 Crank-esque in its story. But yeah, I can't wait to see Daniel Radcliffe portraying Weird Al Yankovic. I think that will be a really fun biopic, and I can't think of anybody more deserving. And like I said, Weird Al has been around for a very, very long time. And I think this will be the last movie, or the next movie in his like his career so far, when you look at Weird Al's career, because I'm sure he's going to be on it. His last movie was UHF back in 1989. So 33 years later, it's time for a new movie with him in it. And I think we might be done here. I think that is it, guys. I think that's all the information or all the stuff I came across this week. We did have a passing French actor, Gaspar Ulliel, who's going to be performing or being in the new Moon Knight series, which we did get a trailer for last week. That's something we didn't talk about, the trailer for Moon Knight, because we talked about the clip that they released, the teaser, but when we got the full trailer in, wow, I'm just amazed at how amazing it looks. And you know, basically almost kind of everything that we talked about, Jeff and I talked about over the last years, you know, if they ever did a Moon Knight series, what route would they go? Looks like they're doing that he is multi-personality, but has, you know, the different personalities of the different characters. Because even when you watch it, he goes by a different name in the movie. But then when there's a scene in there where he gets a phone call, and the lady refers to him by his real name, that, you know, Mark Spector. And so it's kind of interesting to see what they're doing is. Is he Mark Spector, or is he going to be somebody else? But is Mark Spector just another character, or another one of his many personalities? So we're kind of interested to see what route that's going to take, and see how they're going to do it. But I can't wait. But yeah, unfortunately, we did have the passing of Gaspar Ulliel, He will be, who's he supposed to be playing here? Sorry, I didn't have my list up. He's going to be playing Anton Margot Midnight Man. That's who he will be playing. So, yeah, unfortunately, he did pass away. I think it was a skiing accident. Yeah, definitely somebody that's going to be missed greatly. He was been Hannibal Rising, if anybody had ever seen Hannibal Rising, Summer Things, Very Long Engagement. So he's had a few other movies in the mix, but definitely he played the young Hannibal Lecter, if anybody's interested in the Hannibal Rising series. But he definitely will be missed in that. Hopefully you get enough to watch and see and really appreciate what he does and his character growth in this, because I think he'll be amazing on that. All right, guys, well, that is it. This is a short show. It is just me. There's no banter back and forth, and I'm sure Kane would have brought a whole lot more. Jeff, sorry, the artist formerly known as Kane. So we will see you guys next week. Make sure you guys do check out our Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. Like I was saying earlier, we definitely have a couple of a new episode coming out this week for the Midnight Movie Reviews for Gleaming the Cube. And then there is next month where we start hitting our 2010 movies. So for me to you guys, thank you very much for listening. Hope to see you guys soon, and get to the asylum.